I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Most people, when they're diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer, have one of two reactions. They either give up or wake up. Randall Broad's children had a third response, showing up. Because as they said to Dad, we love you, we want you to stick around for a long time, so let's get to work together. Randall Broad, it's nice to have you on Body Language.
Thanks, Christopher. Good to be here.
I found you on patientpower.info, a really wonderful video based on your experience with the diagnosis and subsequent treatments. And then I bought your book on Amazon.com. It's An Extraordinary Life. Don't miss it. Why did you decide, and I think you did this very consciously and mindfully, why did you decide to stick around? Because frankly, some people don't.
I never took the attitude, if you will, that I thought I would die from the disease. I just always thought I was going to live, and I don't know why, or I don't know what to attribute that to. But that said, I stated this in the book, early on, I decided to choose the cancer over having the cancer choose me.
And it sounds like the disease does not define you. You are Randall Broad. You are not lung cancer.
And that's a fine, you know, I do my best to not be defined by the disease. But I do go out and speak professionally on this topic, and it inevitably comes up. So it's a fine line I have to walk, but you're right.
Well, your surgeon had a second opinion, apparently, after they had done several procedures, I believe, including chemo. Your surgeon said, your lymph nodes are involved. This doesn't look really good. I would suggest that you probably got about a year to live, so you should probably get all the little pieces and details of your life in order. You had another point of view, didn't you?
I did not ask for that information, just so for the record, and it was proffered up in a meeting with my 80-something-year-old mother and sister, and we could have all done without that.
Well, cancer is more than one disease. In fact, we just did a video for Patient Power, which is available at patientpower.info. And the title of the show is, Are There Good Cancers and Bad Cancers? And the premise is that the public, while it embraces breast cancer, as do many, many companies with pink ribbons and pink teddy bears and even pink fried chicken buckets, there is no run for the cure for lung cancer. For example, the cure rate for breast cancer is 86%. That makes it a good cancer in some people's view. The 5-year survival rate for lung cancer is a very dismal 15%. And why do you think there is a stigma associated with lung cancer, Randall?
Clearly, it's smoking. Everyone associates lung cancer to smoking. I can't tell people I have lung cancer without either the look or the question.
Oh, yes, the look is very, very telling.
Correct.
Well, when you wrote to me and described your cancer, you first said, I was not a smoker. Now, my mother was a smoker who was diagnosed with emphysema and lung cancer, but she told everyone she had breast cancer in order to get the sympathy vote. And I thought that was unusual until I talked to the lung cancer people, and they said, oh, yeah, happens all the time.
It does, unfortunately. And unfortunately, cigarettes continue to kill more people, not because people smoke them, but because of the stigma and the funding that is, or the lack thereof, that goes into researching lung cancer.
I have spent a great deal of time reading your book, and I've read it twice. It's absolutely fascinating. And I think what you have done by creating this beautiful document entitled It's an Extraordinary Life, which is available at Amazon.com, you have made a tremendous contribution to your children's lives. I mean, of course, to my life, too, and also other patients. But you have created a real legacy with this book. I think this book will outlive us all and will become even more cherished by your children. What are your thoughts about that? Or am I going a little overboard?
No, I mean, thank you. First of all, thank you for the compliment. And I did write the book initially with my kids in mind. But given that short timeline that I was going to have by the surgeon, my kids being 13 and 14 at the time, I felt the importance that they know a little bit more about who their dad was. Not, you know, some of the things that I had to learn, the way we learn life lessons is by making mistakes. And so I chronicled both personal and business anecdotal messages into the book, and again, tried to find the humor in whatever I could find and sprinkle it in there. But mostly just advised them on certain aspects of life that I thought were important. And I did think it in terms of, again, when I started off working with a coach and my co-writer, you know, it was strictly going to be for my kids. And we got about halfway through it and both said, you know, this audience is broader than your kids.
This is much bigger than just us.
It's just the way I think that, you know, I lived my life up until my diagnosis so much in the future. And I've been pretty good about not dwelling on too many things in the past because there's nothing you can really do about it other than to learn from it and correct whatever the behavior was incorrect in the past.
Or as someone once said, there's no future in the past.
That's correct. And so I've had a very full life and I've got very few regrets.
Well, you've traveled with your kids, you took them on a whole bunch of trips, got together with your family a lot, your parents, sister, and you connected even more deeply and intimately with friends and just live life. You said, I chose to live. I chose to enjoy my life, live every day, and not look back. That is a very simple message. Is it difficult to live?
It can be, you know, just like anything. I mean, I can't say that I don't have days that I struggle with, you know, okay, what's the bigger picture? What, you know, now that I'm alive, now that I'm living, you know, I kind of was moving through life like, okay, since I'm not going to be around here very long, I guess I better, instead of leaving my kids with a lot of money as far as inheritance, I better leave them with some memories. And, you know, now that I'm still here, I sometimes have to rethink, okay, well, what are we going to do with this newfound life? So I struggle with some things, just like everybody else does.
Are you surprised or disappointed that you didn't die? I mean, you had obviously made
your... In all honesty, I am surprised because as you started off the program, the statistics are so against us. And inoperable stage 3 is even less than 15% survival rate for 5 years.
Where did you have your treatment done?
I went to the University of Washington Medical Center, which is affiliated with the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance. And so it was the combination of those two.
I saw a video of a talk that you did to that group. You were very grateful, very appreciative, and I must say I was extremely touched by your words, and I believe the audience was too. You owe them a great debt of gratitude.
And they did a great job. They continue to do a great job. My oncologist, Arnaldo Martins, I don't know if he's world-renowned.
Well, he's certainly world-renowned to you.
Very well-respected throughout the oncology community. I got the A-team, and I've been told that by not just people inside the UW Medical Center, but also pharmaceuticals, hospitals, et cetera.
Oh, there's a moment of recognition.
Well, and you know, that's something that's really important. I cannot stress this enough. I fired my first oncology team. This was a facility that I had been treated for everything in my life. In fact, they're the ones that made the initial diagnosis. But the surgeon, when I was interviewing him, took a couple of phone calls right after.
Oh, really?
He told me I had stage 4 lung cancer. And, you know, put me on hold, if you will, at a very crucial moment in the treatment process. I got up and walked out of the room. I was in tears. I was shooken. I was extremely shaken. And it was profound.
You not only sought a second opinion, you sought another first opinion after you fired your original doctor. That is one of the hallmarks, I must say, of an empowered patient. And people can learn more about Randall Broad's experience with lung cancer at patientpower.info. His book is It's an Extraordinary Life. Don't miss it. And the guy who's not missing it has been our guest today. Randall Broad, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.